You are listening to the Sound and Faith podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My name's Pastor Thomas Slauson.
And I'm Mike Johnson.
Have you forgotten your name?
No. I just wanted to do the James Bond thing.
Our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist Fellowship to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You remembered that.
I do.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's been a minute,
yep,
as the young folks say, since we have had a podcast episode.
They stopped saying that. They haven't said that in a minute.
I know. We've been on break for the summer.
Yeah.
But we're back, and we've got some new decorations here. I see you brought nice. The rubber chicken.
Yeah.
From the decorate. Fair. Right. We needed a little bit of decor in here. Hey, it's good to be back.
Yes.
As you notice, I'm wearing the Sound and Faith podcast swag that we have that
I
can be picked up
mine.
On sifpodcast.com. Hmm. You always look very professional and very prim and proper, tucked in, buttoned up. I kind of have that 1990s Gen X grunge thing going on.
You do you.
We each do our own thing.
Yep.
But we have a fun topic today.
We have a guest in our...
We do. We have a guest. We have Elijah Myers, the designer of our logo, the promoter of our podcast.
Right. But we won't say anything about that.
Right.
We won't say anything about...
I did say something... I did just say something in Russian.
Ему 22 лет.
Yes.
22 года.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, if you know Russian, you know what we just said.
We said it's his birthday.
Right. Okay. And he's embarrassed now.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Hey, guess what our topic is today?
I don't know.
We don't know.
We have no idea.
We actually don't know what our topic is going to be today. We're doing something.
This is like a bad dream. I'll just say this.
Yeah.
Like I have this reoccurring dream that I get up to preach on a Sunday morning and I don't have a sermon.
Okay.
It's like it happens all the time, and here we are.
I have this reoccurring dream where I wake up and it's 8:29 before our 8:30 service. I rush to church. I get here. There's no music prepared. And for some reason, like in one of them, the microphone stands are 10 feet high and we can't sing them, and like nobody's singing and everybody's confused. Yeah. So we both have that kind of pastoral trauma going on in our dreams. But anyway, so what we're doing as a fun way to kick off our new season of the Sound and Faith podcast is we are actually going to let AI pick the topic. We've given it some parameters. I'm going to read that here in a minute and give us an outline, and we're just going to go with it.
We'll go with it. Whatever it says.
Yeah. This could be great. It could be a total flop.
If it's a total flop, you probably won't be hearing it, though.
So, yeah. So what you're listening to now is happening live recorded.
That's right.
We're not editing any of this. We've got a question we're going to ask ChatGPT. It's going to give us the topic. It's going to give us the outline, and we're just going to go.
Right. And this is legit. We even have a witness. He's of age.
Yeah.
You can ask him.
Yeah. He's legal. So here is how we're framing this question. You came up with this in order to give it the right parameters, because we wanted it to give us a clear, you know, result here.
Yeah.
So you want to read this? You're the one that wrote it.
Okay, it's a little far away.
Okay.
It says, give us a topic and an outline, 5 to 8 questions for our church podcast, a podcast from two pastors aimed at encouraging the church body, covering theological, biblical, and practical things in the Christian life and in the church.
Okay. Are we ready to do this?
Oh, man, I'm ready. I can't wait. I hope he gives us something good.
I'm clicking go. All right, I'll zoom in here once it brings up the topic.
Oh, man.
It's given us a lot. Okay, here we go. I'm going to zoom in. Can you see that okay?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay. All right, here we go. Episode topic, walking worthy. What does it mean to live a life worthy of the gospel?
I actually like the topic.
That's great.
Yeah, I actually like the topic. Well done, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
GPT.
So here's the purpose of the podcast, to encourage the congregation to think biblically about daily discipleship. We did not plan this.
No.
This is great, but this is so perfect. Connecting theology to life in the church and in the world.
Man.
All right. You ready to jump into this? This is like a topic that we're so excited about anyway that's going on right now. I was worried it was going to give us something about, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons or some kind of obscure question.
That would have been fun too.
That would have been fun. But yeah, let's jump in. So again, this is all happening right here on the fly. We didn't plan for this. We didn't do anything to get ready for this. We're just going to talk about it.
Let's do it.
All right. So what does Scripture mean by living worthy of the gospel?
Yeah. So worthy, the word worthy can go a couple different ways in the way that we use it, right? We can say that somebody is worthy of respect, which means that they've earned respect, or worthy of an honor, which means that they've earned the honor. That's not the way the Bible uses worthy of the gospel. So worthy of the gospel is more like suitable to the gospel. And I've heard it like this, like if you're going to have somebody, let's say, who's somebody really important, Elijah? Okay. if you're going to have somebody like Donald Trump over for dinner, he's the president of the United States, you would, by nature of his position, you'd want your house to be clean. You'd want it to be suitable, right? Like you would not just like, oh, come on over, and you be in your, you know, your Hawaiian shirt and cut off jeans or something like that. You'd dress up. You'd fix a nice meal. You would prepare your home so it would be worthy of the honor of a president of the United States visiting, right?
Yeah.
Suitable. Now you would know that you setting up your home like that is not earning that visit, right?
Right.
It's not earning that. It's not bringing that. Like it's simply trying, aspiring to match the dignity and worth of the event. Mm. And I think that's what Paul means when he says, live lives worthy of the gospel.
Yeah. So I was pulling here from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
So what's the reference again?
Ephesians 4, 1 through 3.
Excellent, yeah.
Yeah. So living a life that matches with the gospel to which we've been called.
Yeah, so the gospel is this free gift from God to us, right? Like we are sinners. We, no matter how worthy we try to make ourselves, we could never measure up to God's holiness and his, you know, so we are saved by grace. God has shown us grace. He sent the Son of God who died on the cross for us. And all who are trusting in Jesus Christ are made righteous by virtue of what Christ has done, like his righteousness. Yeah. And living a life worthy of that doesn't mean trying to earn it.
Yeah.
It means, you know what, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to live so that my life matches the worth and the dignity of the gospel.
We talk about, this ties in so well with what we talk about here at Faith. We want to be a church of gospel doctrine and gospel culture.
Yeah.
We want to believe what is true and right, rooted and grounded in Scripture, and we want to live in a way that corresponds with that. It's in our mission statement. We don't use that exact word in our mission statement, but we talk about preaching a cross-centered gospel, living cross-centered lives, so that our gospel and our lives match up with the message of the cross, the message of the gospel.
And we're going to be saying more about that in an upcoming Sunday school class, or Faith University class, right? Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so during our middle hour starting in the fall, we're going to have Faith Foundations. So for quite some time here, 6 years, I've taught the membership class at Faith. That's been about 8 weeks, and it's really just for people who are getting ready to join the church. But what we're doing is we're taking that and expanding it. And it's going to be the full 14 weeks of the Faith University Hour, where we talk about what we believe, our gospel doctrine, and our gospel culture, and how that applies. And we think that's important because there's some people that have been part of Faith for a long time that maybe would love to have a refresher on this.
Yeah.
But part of moving forward, and this is all part of our pressing forward vision that pressing on, reaching forward, is alignment. We want to be in agreement. We want to be all on the same page in terms of our mission, our vision, what we do in discipleship, all of the things that we're about. So even if you've been a member of Faith for a long time, even if you went through the membership class in just recent years, I think this will be something very valuable for you. There'd be times of table discussion, interaction. Yeah. There's a lot more comprehensive things that we're covering here.
And I've sat in on this class in its condensed form, like its normal form, its 8-week form, a couple of different times, several different times, and it's always edifying. And so I think if you come, you'll be edified. There's lots of biblical truth that we'll be covering. It'll be really good. So be a part of that. And it's going to happen, I think it's going to happen after Elijah's birthday.
Yes.
Well, because his birthday's today.
Right, yes.
Right, so it's after because it's later. Yeah.
Yeah, but part of that whole pressing on, reaching forward vision that we have right now, we want everyone to just be engaged with, be aligned with our gospel doctrine and gospel culture right now. So this next question, go ahead.
Let me ask
you.
Because then you get to answer. Why is this important for every believer, not just pastors, not just missionaries? Now, again, this is a chat GPT question. It's not ours, but this is the question. Why is this important for every Christian?
Well, and it's saying here kind of a clarifying question, show the connection between gospel doctrine and everyday life.
I like that. Yeah.
Because we're all called to this as followers of Christ, not just missionaries, not just pastors.
Right.
Certainly as a pastor in a church or an elder or a leader or a missionary, you're called to a very high standard to follow Christ, but we're all called to that standard. If you're a construction worker, if you're a contractor, you're called to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, because wherever you are representing Christ. You're a follower of Him.
Yeah.
And so when we think about that idea of gospel culture, you want to be living in such a way in all of your business dealings, in all of your interactions with your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, all of those around you, in such a way that you are the aroma of Christ wherever you are in this world.
Yeah.
And so we're all called to that.
Yeah, we're all called to that. There's only one qualification for an elder that isn't just a qualification really for all Christians,
right.
And that is that he must be apt to teach, able to teach. Other than that, everything about an elder is the same as for all Christians. And so this calling to live worthy of the gospel is for every Christian.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And so moving on to the next question, and again, this is ChatGPT framing these. We might have framed them a little differently, but we're going to try to get to the core of what it's asking here. How do we balance grace and effort in living worthy of the gospel?
Yeah.
What do you think it's getting
well,
at there?
I think it's saying, like, if we are saved by grace, if the Christian life is a life that is really a life that is, like, we bear fruits of the Spirit, it's a Spirit-driven life, then how do we think about, in terms of striving and living worthy of the gospel, making effort and those kinds of things. And I don't think we have to strike a balance. I think we just have to state it, right?
Like, yes.
In Philippians, Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, so this is very similar language to live a life worthy of the gospel. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Right.
So it's a life of dependence. It's a life of like, we don't tap into our own strength. We strive powerfully with all the strength that he works within us,
right
as Paul says. And so that's, I think, what it's getting at. And it's helpful as we think about this. This isn't just check the boxes, do the work. This is rely on God every day with all of your heart to see his will worked out in your life.
You know, it has a little sub-point here under that question about addressing misconceptions about legalism and license. Mm. And that tends to be the struggle for a lot of Christians.
It does.
I think what it's talking about, the balance there is, you know, what I've just in ministry seen people kind of tend towards one direction or the other. All the rules that we can make, you know, to guard us against the possibility of ever sinning, or, hey, we're free in Christ, let's just do whatever we want.
Yeah.
And
we all naturally trend towards error, and we're going to trend towards error in that area too.
Yeah. And so legalism is setting up rules that go beyond what Scripture teaches in order to say, if I do these things, then I will be pleasing to God.
Right.
Whereas license is, hey, Jesus washed away all my sins, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
You
put that well. That's right. And both of those are ditches, and the road that goes between them, the road of truth, is that we are called to strive.
Right.
We are called to strive with all of the strength that he works within us. Like it's God at work in us.
Yeah.
I think it takes effort. I think it takes discipline. I get up every morning and I want to read my Bible. Even sometimes I don't feel like doing that, but I do it anyway because it takes effort to continue to follow Jesus. But it's at the end of the day, it's a dependent effort. God is at work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Right. We do that not so that we would earn favor with God. Right. We do that because we have his favor, and he sets a feast of his word before us that we can partake of and enjoy. And so we think of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, to observe all that I've commanded you. And so part of that—
And lo, I am with you always. I mean, that's huge in that. Like, yeah. You're not on your own on this.
Right, yeah. So following Christ means learning to obey him, you know, and so that's an important aspect of this. These are good questions. Word. I think this is framing this subject pretty well.
Yeah.
What are some practical marks of a gospel-worthy life?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of them, and you can see most of them in some of the lists of virtues that Paul lists out, like the fruits of the Spirit, mm-hmm. you know, love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control, those kinds of things. You could see it in also kind of some of his list of virtues for the church, like unity and harmony and those kinds of things. I think all of those things are worthy of the gospel. And, you know, I mean, if you want to be black and white, sin is unworthy of the gospel, and righteousness is worthy of the gospel. And so anything that you can put under one of those categories will help you see whether this is living worthy of the gospel. So I'm living worthy of the gospel when I'm patient and kind. I'm living unworthy of the gospel when I'm impatient or rude, you know, so those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think there's a place here to talk about discipline in your life, this kind of ties into the last question we were addressing, the effort that goes into there, because it is God who is working through us to will and to work to his good pleasure. But a disciplined life is a life that says, I'm gonna set these parameters, I'm gonna make this plan so that I can work towards godliness in my life. And that, again, that working is through his Spirit working in and through us. But is it 1 Timothy? I'm trying to remember the verse, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness.
Yeah, that's in Timothy.
Yeah, one
of the Timothys.
Yeah, 1 Timothy. I can't remember the exact reference.
It's in the pastorals.
Yes. But there's a place for discipline. And so we want to grow in our faith. We want to grow in our life and our love for Christ. And so when it comes to things like reading the Word, there might be days where we just don't feel like it, like you just said.
Yeah.
But part of that discipline is saying, I'm going to do this anyway because I know this is good for my soul.
Yeah.
I know that God has given me this gift to grow in him.
And a really good book on this, I think it was written around 2015 or 2016, it's Habits of Grace by David Mathis. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to really press in on that, that's a great book to buy and read and think about.
And then another one, Don Whitney, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life.
That's right. That's a classic.
Yeah, discipline yourself. I was trying to find that reference. The purpose of godliness. That is, 1 Timothy 4:7-8. So there's that verse there. It's biblical.
Yes.
Walking in discipline. Like you said, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the marks of a gospel, a worthy life, we could say.
Yep.
Yeah. Next question here.
How does living worthy of the gospel affect the life in the local church? Life in the local church. How does it affect the church?
I think it affects it profoundly.
Yeah.
Because the culture that you want to see in the life of a local church is made up of people that you would want to be living gospel-worthy lives and how they go about their disciplined life, their spiritual disciplines.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you want that health and that vitality to be nurtured in the local church. And I think it kind of ties in, too, with our desire to see a culture of discipleship here at Faith. And, you know, we talk about discipleship. What is it? I use this illustration. It's kind of like a funnel when you think about, or kind of a inverted pyramid. You know, at the top, you have kind of the macro things that we do. This is part of discipleship. We preach the word here. We worship together. We have our faith university, our Sunday school classes. As you come down, you can narrow that down to small group ministries, Bible studies, faith groups. And then if you continue on down, you get into that one-on-one discipleship. And that's an aspect that we're trying to build further here at Faith. And I know Pastor Mark, if he were here, could talk more about that. But seeing people discipled so that they are living lives that are worthy of the gospel.
Yeah, and like when that happens, you have a church that's culture becomes very gospel-y. You know, like you have a church that's on mission together. You have a church that loves one another. You have a church that forgives and is patient. You have church unity is a product of living gospel-y, right? Mm, I mean, really. I mean, if you, and that's. You could see that right from Philippians, you know, Philippians 2, where he talks about unity and he goes right to the gospel to try to set it up in that big hymn of what Christ has done for us. If there's any sympathy, if there's any love, you know, fulfill my joy by being like-minded of one accord, it says there. So unity, those kinds of things, all of that is our product. Those are all products of the gospel having deep roots in the life of the church.
So I want to say some words of encouragement specifically to those that are from Faith Baptist Fellowship that are listening, because I think one way that we talk about measuring our gospel culture is through our five loves. Mm. And our five loves are those kind of indicators of where our hearts are. Mm-hmm. Do we love God? Do we love God's word in prayer? Do we love one another? Do we love our neighbors? Are we loving the gospel? And I think that has been a tremendous help to our people to keep our hearts and minds focused on the things that are of greatest importance and how we live lives that are worthy of the gospel. And so just straight up, some things that encourage me that I see and I want to continue to encourage in the life of our church are a love for the word, a love for deep exegetical preaching that is applicable to our lives. The vibrancy of the singing that shows a heart of worship and engagement with the truth that we're doing. Generosity towards one another. Our people genuinely care for one another. Week after week, we hear stories from people helping and serving one another. Desire to reach our neighbors and love them and see them come into the family of God through the gospel. And then a love for the gospel going out.
Strong commitment towards the nations with bringing the gospel to the nations. Yeah.
And I say to Faith Baptist, you are doing that, and it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work to His good pleasure, these gospel-worthy aspects of this church. We always want to grow. We always want to be growing. We always want to keep pressing on and reaching forward. But I think the foundation is there, and we're very thankful for that. Mm. Yeah. What are some common obstacles, or distractions that pull Christians away from this calling?
Well, thankfully, birthdays don't really distract us too much.
No, they don't.
So you don't have to be distracted today, Elijah, since it's your birthday. But we won't say that on the air.
No, we won't. We'll cut this part out.
No, we won't cut it out. But anyway, cultural pressure, sinful patterns, it gives us some suggestions there. And really, I'll just say sin distracts us from this. Sin of selfishness, sin of pride. Mm. I think when we lose sight of the gospel, we become distracted of this. When we lose sight of the hope that we have because of Jesus alone, we lose sight of this. And that affects our personal lives and that affects the church. You know, when a church loses sight of the gospel, and churches do, this is why we have to be vigilant, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to take our eyes even for a moment off of the gospel. But because when we do, we lose sight of this reality, you know, and then we don't live lives worthy of the gospel. So sin distracts, selfishness, pride.
I think of, so my life verse is Colossians 3, 1 through 4. That's my kind of life passage.
That's four verses, Thomas.
Yeah, well, life passage, I'll put it that way. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
So good.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, your life, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory.
So
we never should lose sight of that otherworldliness that we've been given in Christ. We have an inheritance that can never fade or be taken away. I don't think that negates the responsibility that we have to love our neighbors and serve one another, because what we're doing here now matters in the kingdom of God. But there is a ultimate reality that yes. we are aspiring to.
And that hints at another distraction, right? Like setting our minds on the things of the world. Yeah. Like Jesus talked a lot about this in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, like not worrying like the Gentiles worry mm-hmm. about what we'll put on or what we'll eat, you know, but instead seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, yeah. you know. So a trusting God in this difficult life with all the trials that we face. Trials can be distracting if we let them be. They can also be honing. Like they can also,
yeah.
And that's why God brings them into our life, is so that they might hone us, so that we, you know, like shape our thoughts, so that we might live in a more worthy of the gospel way, you know. But they can also distract us if we put our minds on them and worry and or you know, be taken up with anxiety.
Was it? It's the 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 passage. Your outer self is wasting away. Inner self is being renewed day by day. These light momentary afflictions are working in us an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. Mm-hmm. So keeping those things in perspective, I think you used the illustration one time about maybe I'm kind of reframing it, but like if you were going camping for 2 nights, you set up a tent. You don't go build a house
right.
to just live in for 2 nights. So we thinking that way, we're here for a time. We're doing things that do matter. God is using us. We're called to these to this mission together, but we have a greater inheritance that awaits us beyond this world, one right. that will never fade or perish.
Final question, yeah. and then we're going to add one.
Yeah.
We want to add one to this, but here is our final question from our imaginary friend, ChatGPT, who asks, how can we encourage and remind one another in the church to keep walking worthy? And you answer, I posed it.
Well, I think we live according to that gospel culture that we're aspiring to. We gather for worship. We encourage one another day after day, as Scripture tells us to do. We hold one another accountable. That's one of the reasons why we believe membership is actually important here at Faith and biblical, and we'll go into that even further in the Faith Foundations class, is because we see in Scripture communities that gather together with a common mission where they were doing and believing the same thing. And then where there was accountability. There was accountability to the leaders of the church, and there was accountability to one another. And they were in this committed communal relationship with one another. So I think being the things that Scripture calls us to do by committing to one another, serving one another, and living according to that gospel culture that we have.
That's right on. And I would just add to that, keeping right at the center of everything, the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, like keeping the Bible before us, soaking in it, you know, loving it, wanting, demanding it, you know, requiring it, as we were just thinking about with Nehemiah 8, you know, requiring it in the life of our church. I think the Word is what's going to keep us on the road of truth.
Yeah.
Everything else is a ditch.
Bearing with one another in love. Mm. All of those things are critical. What's our final question that we're going to add here, or our final thought that we're going to add?
Yeah, so, I mean, here we used AI, which is all the talk these days. Mm-hmm. And so we thought we'd ask a question about the responsible use of artificial intelligence. Like, how do we use things like ChatGPT and, you know, Copilot 365, all these others? How do we use these in ways that are responsible, honoring to God, those kinds of things. And I think that's helpful because we created this outline with AI, right?
Yeah.
But let's talk about how we use AI.
The way I begin with this is you already have to have discernment and knowledge before you just jump into using AI. I think AI is a tool. I think it's a very useful tool, and it's here to stay. And so, you know, we can't just run from this and say, never use it, because I think there's great benefit to it. I think there's many useful ways it can be utilized in the life of a Christian. What you don't want it to do, though, is become your discipler. Mm. You don't want it to start thinking for you. You don't want it to be where you're gleaning all of your theology without discernment. So what we did here was we put in the parameters of what we wanted But then as we were going through this, and there was even a point at which we said we might state that differently, is you've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word so that you can understand and discern whether or not this thing is making errors or stating things correctly or not. So we guided its parameters. We wanted it to give us this, you know, way of doing things. And if it had gone off the rails while we were doing this, I think we would have called it out. We would have said, no, that's not right. We disagree with that. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, I think that's right on. That's excellent. Like, it is not the Spirit of God.
No.
It is not a human being. Like, it's something other. You know, it's something we've programmed. And I do think we could use it. And I don't think we need to be fearful as Christians.
Right.
And just, you know, well, this is of the devil or something like that. I don't think that. But I think we need to be careful with our use of it. And especially when we allow something to do our thinking for us.
Yes.
You know, I think ChatGPT, it's a language model. It's good with words. It's good with words. It's better than people, most people are with words. Mm-hmm. It'll write a good poem. It can do those kinds of things. But we would be at a great loss if human beings stopped writing poems.
Yeah.
You know, it can come up with outlines, but I think this podcast would become lame if it came up with all our outlines.
Right.
It can write a sermon, but I will never preach a sermon that's written by ChatGPT. Yeah. I will never use AI to create my content. Like I just won't do that. I don't think that's right. I think, my responsibility before God is to be in the Word and let His thoughts ruminate in my mind. But I do use it as a research assistant. I ask it to go find me some statistics somewhere. I use it sparingly, and it also, I mean, just like if you do a lot of images with AI, it's always got some mistake, like a person with seven fingers.
Or
there's something weird there. So it is with its knowledge. It'll bring in a fact that doesn't exist, that isn't true, a book that isn't real. So you have to be cautious in how you use it, because it's still pretty rough. But I think you shouldn't use it to create content. I think you should still write your songs, write your poems, mm-hmm. pray your prayers, write your sermons, journal, you know, do those things. But I think you can use it in some helpful ways. I use it much like I used Google search for many years.
Christians have the Spirit of God. ChatGPT does not have the Spirit of God.
It does not.
So you've got to think through it in that way. Some helpful ways that I've found it useful are I've written my sermon completely, pasted it into ChatGPT and asked it to proofread it for errors and grammatical things. I found that helpful. Also, I've said, about how long will this take me to cover? And it gives me a time estimate, things like that. There's even times where you're like, you've maybe thought through the Bible verses you want to look for, and like, what are some other verses that talk about this? Because I don't know about you, but I know there's times when I think, I know that's a verse somewhere in the Bible, but I can't remember exactly where it is.
Yeah, like a research assistant.
Yeah, like a Bible search or something you would do. So use it carefully. Yeah. Use it wisely.
And here's one more word of caution. Right now, ChatGPT and the main ones right now have censorship which is helpful. Parameters to keep it from like telling you how to do something very evil or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't expect that always to be the case.
Right.
I expect those kinds of things to lift as soon as somebody's bold enough to do that. Whenever you have a technology that can be used for evil, it will be used for evil. It is inevitable. And so I do think Christians need to be very cautious about where this can be used. And, I think it has parenting implications and things like that.
I agree.
So at the end of the day, use ChatGPT in a manner that is worthy of the gospel.
There you go. Good word.
Also, it's Elijah's birthday. Did you get that?
I did. Should we sing? No, we're not going to sing happy birthday.
No.
All right. Wow. Well, good topic today. Our next outline will not be done by ChatGPT, but we thought this would be a fun way to start off the season 3.
Here we go.
Sound in Faith podcast. For the Sound in Faith podcast, I forgot what I was going to say. For the Sound in Faith podcast, I'm Pastor Thomas.
And I'm Pastor Mike.
Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.